Welcome to Parents Perspective. Aw, Dad, do we have to? 13-year-old Casey grumbled. Ben and I were just getting into this new game. The graphics are awesome. Can't we meet you outside later or something?
Not a chance, guys, his dad called back up the stairs. Nothing wrong with some fresh air and a little exercise as far as I'm concerned. Let's get moving.
But there's nothing to do outside. Casey and Ben thumped down the stairs and trudged toward the door.
Well, how about a jog around the pond? Casey's dad began. You never know when you might see something non-electronic of interest, like a chipmunk or maybe a fox. Nature does pretty cool graphics, too, you know.
From a parent's perspective, how can we get our kids connected with the out-of-doors? I'm Sandy Burt. Linda Perlis can't be with us today, but will return soon. Our guest knows a thing or two about getting children interested in their outdoor environment. Becky Garland is Executive Director of the National Wildlife Federation's Connecting People with Nature initiative. Her main goal is to raise awareness that children and parents need to get a daily dose of the outdoors. She is also a mom with two daughters, ages 10 and 12. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Becky.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Why is it so important to get our children physically out of doors?
As a mother, my immediate reaction is that my children are more happy and more playful and really more creative when they spend time outside. But we have also realized that there's hard research that backs up that information. Everything from eyesight is better when they spend time outside.
Why is that?
Well, when you spend time inside in front of a TV screen or a computer screen, you are looking at things very close, very short distance. And when you're outside, the whole world opens up and you look at things both near term and far distance. Horizon, peripheral vision, all of those are challenged more when you're outside and your brain opens up. And there's literally a study that was just released in the past 2 weeks about that.
That's interesting. So the idea is not only does your body get exercise in the way we think about it, but the eye muscles, things that we
don't
even
the way your brain reacts, et cetera. So it's everything from being outdoors, you burn more calories, you use different muscles than you use when you're inside. Your attention span has to be different. You can focus in on a piece of nature. You hear more so that you hear different auditory sounds. And the other thing, you know, basically use all of your senses. And, you know, I don't know if you harken back to some of your childhood memories, but some of my most powerful memories are when I was outdoors and I remember what I smelled and associated with a tree or being by a pond or pine cones, whatever. You associate smells and visions and the sounds that you hear, and those images all together make a very powerful memory.
It's interesting. So you get more of a mind-body workout
exactly. When
you're outside.
Exactly.
I wonder if there have been studies about behavior of kids who have trouble behaving inside, whether they're better outside.
Definitely. And we are basically raising the first indoor generation for all of mankind. Majority of children's time was spent outside, and current children, our current generation, spend about half as much time outside as we did growing up or those, you know, 20 years ago. So, you know, it's one of those things where you don't notice things and all of a sudden you have a dramatic shift of spending half as much time outside. There are studies that show things like attention deficit disorder have increased. Even simple things like the joy of nature being outside. People are happier. Kids are happier. Well, our incidence of prescribing antidepressants for children, even under the age of 5, are skyrocketing today. So the mind-body benefits of being outside, we're just now really being able to capture and understand what those are.
It's pretty powerful stuff.
It is powerful.
Is there something special that you want to highlight that our kids get when they're connecting with nature?
One of the best things that children get when they connect with nature is an increased creativity, an opportunity to build that or flex that creativity muscle, because you look at a rock formation and you figure out what animal that could be. You lay on your back and look at the clouds in the sky and you imagine what that could be. You take a walk through the forest and you hear sounds and you say, oh, I wonder what animal that is, or how do animals talk to each other and what do you think they're saying? They play games, even just in an open field of grass. The interaction that children have when they're playing tag or talking to each other, it's just a free and open environment where they can express themselves in a different way than they can inside. think about it. We tell our children inside voices, inside voices. So when they're outside, they're able to be completely free.
And it's funny because I think of one of my children who was not an outdoor person at all, but I think gave himself permission to be more creative just by sitting in a tree or sitting someplace outside. There was something there that was, even when you're just sitting around daydreaming or thinking.
Free thinking, absolutely. And it's funny you say that. I have two daughters, and they both like to be outside, but my younger daughter sometimes needs a little extra nudge because she gets sucked into the TV sometimes. And once they are both outside, it is as if it's a different world, and the imagination opens up, and they can go places they can't go indoors. Free thinking is a beautiful thing.
How is our natural world a stimulus to a child's brain development? There's a lot of stuff being written now about all that.
At the National Wildlife Federation, we have a passion for this and a website dedicated to parenting resources for getting their children outdoors. We call it our Green Hour. So it's www.greenhour.org. And we welcome input from various specialists in the field. And there was a recent blog post by Dr. Lawrence Cohen who talked about the importance of play on brain development, and specifically outdoor play. Because if you think about it, when you're outdoors, again, we talked about all the various senses that are awakened. And if you think of the brain as a series of LED lights, when you're outdoors, all of a sudden, all of your senses are being awakened and your brain lights up like a Christmas tree. You're getting visual stimulation, both near term, what's that butterfly going by you and what are those mountains in the horizon or what's the tree line look like, as well as everything from car traffic to, oh my gosh, I think I just heard a woodpecker, you know, pecking in the background. And the other interesting is usually the terrain is not even. So you're walking and you're having to balance yourself a little bit and you might feel a cool breeze. So your kinesthetic is also being awakened. So all of those powerful messages are being sent to your brain in a way different than if you're sedentary inside in front of a screen that might be 6 inches from your face. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is all those senses cut across your brain, so the neural pathways open up. And the more neural pathways you have, it's like basically exercise for your brain.
And all of this happens in somewhat of an unpredictable manner. You're not exactly sure when this is going to happen outdoors or that's going to happen
outdoors.
Sandy,
I'm so glad you said that because that's a really key point. When you expect things to happen, you're prepared for them. And it is through life's little challenges, even as simple as you step and, oh, you didn't expect that, so you have to right yourself. It's the unexpected. It's the anticipation. Those are the things that both make being outdoors fun, but also prepare your brain in a different way to be ready for, you know, what might be coming next.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on encouraging children to go in the out-of-doors.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Becky Garland of the National Wildlife Federation about getting our children into the out-of-doors. It's almost as though when we're doing anything but sort of sitting in a trance outside, we have to be aware of what's around us at all times.
Exactly. And quite honestly, even being in a trance, if you're laying relaxing, you're still hearing things and you are probably letting your mind go freely. So, and that has benefits as well.
We have a society now where we're really diagnosing very early kids with all kinds of things and kids who have kinesthetic issues at all about their bodies in space or how their bodies work or things like that. I would guess being outside is a very challenging experience for them.
But I think challenging in a good way, that they get to test themselves in ways that they hadn't tested before and experience new sensations. So a very positive way to get them outdoors in an open environment.
What kinds of activities can an entire family do together outside?
When children are really little, it's sometimes easier to think of an activity because basically your goal is to get them outside to burn off that energy, have them become familiar with the grass and the dirt, and they're just happy to be outside. So that's kind of step one. As they get older, their expectations get a little bit higher. They want to go to a playground. They want to be on a swing. They want to be able to do something and interact with the outside world. And that's where playgrounds and parks, et cetera, play a really key role. When you start to get children a little bit older, like I'm starting to experience with my 10 and 12-year-old, you have to really lure them outside. And usually it's just a matter of getting them out the door and then going on an adventure. A nature walk where you try to figure out what wildlife you're going to see that particular weekday, whatever. Usually, obviously, seasonally things change. It can be taking a ball and you know, playing outside. It can be structured or unstructured. One of the other things that teens really enjoy is photography. And photography is a lot more accessible for us. It's not like the old days where you have to spend a lot of money to develop the film. And cameras are pretty accessible. So allowing them to take pictures helps them interact with the environment. And the other nice part is when you can have a memory of being outside, it reinforces the positive feelings that you had. So photography, making crafts. Again, on our Green Hour site, we have literally 100 different activities you can do with your family of all different age ranges on our site. Every week we publish a new activity. And many of our activities have something to do with when you're on a nature walk, what can you do to expand the experience when once you're indoors? Make a nature wreath, paint rocks and have a rock garden, pretend like rocks are a certain kind of animal. You know,
I would think collections.
Photography collections, exactly. And these are things that children display with pride to show that I was outside and I did something with it.
What about parents who don't especially like being outdoors themselves? How do we get ourselves out there?
Well, there's many a day when my kids don't want to go out and I'm like, oh, I just want to sit inside for a minute. But again, most Americans feel refreshed. And there's a recent study, I think it's 84% of Americans say that once they get outside, they feel refreshed. So again, it's that little barrier of getting outside, but it's the air, it's the freedom. And the other thing in this economy, where we're all struggling with how we're making ends meet, nature is free. You can walk outside. Another interesting statistic is that 40% of America is public parks or land. Isn't that amazing?
40%.
So we own, you and me, own 40% of America. And it's for us to go to. Now, obviously not every park is free, but you know, most of them are certainly low cost. And they offer really unique ways to connect with your family. The other important part about being outside, especially when you can bring your children with you, is that there's no ringing phone, hopefully. There's no TV to distract. So you are encouraged to interact with your child, which moments are so precious. And so to me, it's the double benefit of all the wonderful things of being outside, the fresh air, just the feeling of freedom. And you also walk away with having a few minutes to bond with your children.
I think also we have to remember that little kids who are like under the age of 5 are really fascinated just with the stuff they see around. They really don't need much structure. They're perfectly happy. I remember taking one of my kids, I believe it was to the zoo, with great fanfare, and it was cold and bundling up in a stroller and the whole business. And we got to the zoo, and he was not the least bit interested in the giraffes and all the big animals that I thought would be very exciting. No, he was quite interested in the squirrels and the rain gutters and all that, because everything's exciting to little ones.
A lot of times we feel like we have to structure activities for our children, when in fact, their expectations are really a lot lower. We think we have to sit on Friday night and figure out how we're going to plan out our whole weekend. When in fact, my children will still tell me this. When I was younger, I would think, okay, we're going to go to this museum and we're going to go to see Barney at this or, you know, whatever. So I would really look at the weekend section and try to figure out what I was going to plan for that weekend. And then I got to the point where they would just look at me and say, can we just go for a walk? Can we just go on an adventure, is what they used to call it, because it was more free thinking. So, yes, sometimes our expectations and our children's expectations are very different.
Exactly. Becky, when you talk about doing things with your kids, Did you ever have a situation where you planned something structured and then something surprising came out of left field and it really wasn't what you had planned at all?
Yes, I can think of a time when my children are about 5 and 6 and we had planned this fabulous trip to the mall and we were going to do a Build-A-Bear workshop and a few other items. We came home and the kids were tired. They just said, "Mom, can we just go skip rocks?" And at the bottom of our street, there's this little creek and they were fascinated with it and it became weekly routine for us. But I was trying so hard to give them an experience by taking them to the mall and do something that I felt was going to be very impactful for them, when in fact, it was the simple things of life, walking down to the bottom of our hill, going through the grass, hunting for the right flat-shaped rocks, collecting those, learning the mastery of flicking that wrist so that you can get as many skips as you can. And, you know, clearly we had a lot of thuds. But it was that that they enjoyed most, as opposed to the very expensive day at the mall.
And you know what makes me think also about the double benefit of something like this? We're now thinking again about how generations can interact. And one of the special things about an older generation where we're not quite as time-driven, we're not quite as frantic as parents are raising kids, is the older generation has some time to go skip rocks and to do that kind of non-structured, time-heavy activity.
We're finding that a lot of our readers are actually grandparents or aunts and uncles that maybe don't have their own children, and they are looking for activities to do with the special children in their lives. And we call that fostering an echo legacy, getting the children outside to share the experiences that they remembered. And those moments are precious to the children.
Absolutely. We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on encouraging children to be in the out-of-doors. For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Becky Garland of the National Wildlife Federation about getting our children into the out-of-doors. Is there anything special that we need to think about with middle schoolers? You have middle schoolers now, in terms of getting them outside in a user-friendly way.
There are a couple things to think about. They are getting more independent, and this is a decision you have to make with your child in knowing them and their friends and their environment. So I'm not going to say at what age they should go free on their own, but it is something to think about. But they need to be given opportunities to be outside in an unstructured way. And there's plenty of time, I think, usually on ball fields. And that's great as well, but that's very structured. And they need to have time where they're unstructured, free thinking. And that's where I think the photography idea really works well. Or just go on a walk. I mean, one of the things that is so tricky at that age is getting them to communicate. Sometimes car time works for that because they can't get away from you. But, you know, often you can have a discussion with a child on a walk and let the conversation flow more freely than you could have when you're sitting at the kitchen table and there's distractions and the phone's ringing or the TV's on in the background. So maybe use those walks and that opportunity to be outside is a way to connect in a positive way and have more free conversations, and then encourage them to go outside and have an adventure. And children of that age still really want to do role-playing and thinking, and there are ways that you can encourage them to go out with their friends. And if you go to a park, let them have their distance so you can still see them. But go sit in the trees and just talk about life and encourage them to go there. As, you know, they may want to go to the mall, and that's fine. But it's that balance. It's making sure that you don't lose the grounding and the roots of being outside.
I wonder also whether developmentally this is the stage where kids are wanting to have some mastery. They're wanting to acquire skills. It's the beginning of music lessons and
exactly.
Dance lessons and all the kinds of stuff. And I wonder whether out-of-door skills are best introduced at this point?
Absolutely. Ideally, before the age of 11, children will have some significant outdoor experiences, and that carries them for the rest of their life. And there's, again, studies that show that they have an incredible love of nature if you can give them some significant outdoor experiences before the age of 11. But for children that maybe aren't so adept at a soccer ball or whatever, some of the gross motor skills that you can get by being outside and going on a walk or noticing things in nature, come home and write a journal about it so that you can, again, bring the outdoor activities back to the indoor and imagine what would have happened in an outdoor environment. But it's allowing them to do games with their friends, the traditional games that we probably grew up with, everything from kick the can to riding your bike. All things that don't necessarily require the fine motor skills that sometimes are frustrating for, you know.
I'm thinking about skills that I personally don't have any connection with, but that I would think that kids could do outside, something like serious hiking skills that they can teach in places like Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts or Girl Scouts, or rock climbing where people actually learn a skill. Even just whittling. I don't see people doing that very much anymore, but outdoor kinds of skills might be a good time, do you think?
Absolutely. And again, this love of nature, they're all positive behaviors. Mm-hmm. They're all things that you can take later into life, things like fishing, exploring, hiking. And it's great to have a destination or a goal in mind. So, yes, great time to start that.
Can we make the time of day work to our advantage?
Well, back to the novelty point that we brought up earlier and how the outdoors really does bring different opportunities, absolutely. And both time of day as well as season both play into making the outdoors interesting. Morning, you know, there's sunrise, there's different nature outside, and so you can play with that. The air is crisper and cooler. During the middle of the day, you can do all kinds of fun things with shadows and where the position of the sun is in the sky. And then at night, there's everything from roasting s'mores or marshmallows to gazing at the stars and trying to figure out what's in the sky and what's the star formation and what might be going on in outer space. You know, you can have these really fun conversations with your family that you wouldn't necessarily have on the indoors.
I remember beach vacations when my kids were little. I wanted to keep them out of the midday sun anyway, but I remember thinking that the early morning and the late afternoon had different things going on with the water. The tide would come in, the tide would go out. Certain kinds of little creepy, crawly, crab-like animals mm-hmm. would be there on the sand. There, different things happen depending on the time of day.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, we have animals that are nocturnal versus during the day. But it's interesting, my family growing up, we were big into fishing. And we used to say that the best time to fish was around dinner time. We called it the bewitching hour. And there is something about probably a combination of water temperature and tides and just the fact that other prey are not there, that it was easier to have the fish there. So yes, the wildlife varies by time of day.
And it's interesting, I was thinking about your comment that if you can get kids out into the out-of-doors, that it gives them sort of a compass for the rest of their lives, that they really get some joy in that. And I was thinking about one of my sons who's very, very, very attached to nature. And he's not an athlete at all, but he had an opportunity to join a crew team in high school, and he figured that would be good because it was on the water. He didn't know anything about crew, but it was appealing to him because of that. And even as a grown-up, he dragged me to some kind of special wildlife setting as a total grown-up because he said the Canada geese were coming in. It was a certain hour you had to be there, and it was almost dark, but it wasn't dark, and you would wait, and you would see the geese come and settle in. It was a beautiful process, but he was tuned into it, I think, because he felt comfortable in that whole setting from his childhood.
I think those of us that grew up spending majority of our time outside, some of our more powerful childhood memories are of the out-of-doors. And you know, again, what senses we remember, smell, sight, et cetera. When you encourage your child to spend time outside, look for camps if that's appropriate. Look for activities that maybe are not mainstream if that is more of where they want to go. And you will set them on the path for later in life for beautiful memories and lots of opportunities.
And one of the things that we didn't mention when we were talking about skills with middle schoolers and teens are things that we sort of take for granted, like swimming or skiing if you live in a part of the country where that goes on, or snowshoeing or certain kinds of hiking. I think there's orienteering people do. There's a lot of things that are skill-based that kids can begin to master or begin to get the skills at that middle school beginning teenage years.
Right, because that's when their bodies are starting to form and they have an ability to master certain skills. I would just encourage your listeners to really think about what is in their neighborhood nearby and pick activities to introduce to their children if they haven't already. See what is of interest. And I guarantee beautiful things will come out of it.
Well, beautiful things certainly have come out of this interview. This has been so wonderful. But before we close up, Becky, are there resources that you would suggest for listeners who want to learn more about what we've been discussing?
Absolutely. And thank you for asking. The one resource I've already mentioned is www.greenhour.org. It is the website specifically geared to parents to give activities, tips, and resources from experts as to ways to get your children engaged in outdoors. Also, the National Wildlife Federation has pretty robust information on our website. And www.nwf.org, there is a wildlife watch area where you can look at the different wildlife across the seasons. And there's a way to find nature activities in your neighborhood. Literally, you can just type in your zip code and find parks and resources nearby, events that would be appropriate for your children.
This is a terrific resource. Well, you have been a terrific resource yourself.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, Becky Garland, we are so glad you could be with us, and we encourage everybody to get out there. Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, 4th edition. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and mention show number 392. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. And if you can, tell us what station you're tuning into. Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice as a podcast. Again, that's www.parentsperspective.org. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program was made possible with a generous donation from the SF Foundation. Our sound engineer is Nate DeLuca. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.